Dan Horror with your host, the Mighty Griff.
Hey everybody, I'd like to welcome you back to episode 2 of More Horror Than Horror. I'm your host, the Mighty Griff. Sitting across from me, as always, is my co-host, Tim McClaws.
Hello.
And behind the control board is the one and only, Todd Sheets. Well, fellas, another week has gone by, and once again, we have genered into the world of horror, of that is, and what is not. And I, myself, have failed to do my homework like I promised last week. I actually sat down Sunday when I got home and had two stacks of movies in my hands I wanted to sit down and watch to give us some material to review.
And promptly fell asleep.
And needless to say, I got maybe four watched just because I worked extremely long hours this week. I'm talking like 12 hours, 13 hours overtime, and going back in the morning to do some more overtime. So all next week, again, I'm on layoff, and I promise I will watch more horror movies. So next Saturday night, we'll have plenty of material to discuss. But like I mentioned last week, the horror films are disappearing from our shelves in our local stores. And I've done the homework and got the numbers of the people that we need to call. So I'm going to pass those numbers on to you. So get your pen and paper and write these down, and I want everybody to start calling. Remember, let's try to keep it professional. No profanity. Don't be hateful. Be courteous. Just understand our dilemma. You know, you can catch more flies with sugar than you can with honey. Anyway, the first number, the customer service to Hastings, is 1-877-427-8464. And you can also get the contact information off of the website, and that is www.gohastings.com. Usually they'll have the general information somewhere on the top part of the screen, but always the more corporate information is all the way down at the very bottom of the screen. You can usually find a lot more numbers hidden down there. If you go to like the legal aspect of things, there's usually some numbers hidden in there, or contact information hidden in like the job area. But that is for Hastings.
What if we infiltrated Hastings and got a job and started ordering all the movies we wanted?
You know, I was thinking about that the other day. I wonder if we could make a bet. If we could go in and offer to work for free for, like, say, 2 weeks. If we had the authority to order whatever we wanted, and we'll say, all right, I'll work in this store 40-hour week for free. If you give me a budget of, say, $10,000, and after that 2 weeks, we'll see who sells the most, whether your corporate orderers are selling more product or my personal taste is selling more. So, I mean, it would be kind of an interesting gamble to take, but I'm pretty sure with what we would order with the $10,000 would probably sell faster than what they're sending, you know, from the corporate office.
Is that anything or anything we can get our hands on?
Well, and I'm sure, well, yeah, anything that would be in their system. I mean, you know, if we could go into whatever, you know, instead of having to sit there and get the special orders, you know, individually from the people, if we could just have their book of what they have available and just go through and say, well, I want two copies of this, I want three copies of this, bring me a copy of this, you know. I'm sure probably what we would pick would probably sell faster than what they've already got on the shelves. So, Best Buy is our next victim. And Best Buy being a little bit bigger of a corporation than Hastings, they have a few numbers. Their general information line number is 1-888-237-8289.
Do you have a real number to talk to a real human? Because that's jacking shit.
Okay. Well, their vendor number
to order your Twilight cell phone cover.
I guess if you're a vendor trying to get 7. Your stock into the store, that number is 1-888-265-2024. And I'm sure if you got a hold of somebody at the vendor number, you could probably have them transferred you. But then you could also call the public relations number. And that number is 1-612-618-6703. And then also, if you want, I think Best Buy and Hastings both have an actual address where you can send information to the CEO. I'm not for sure.
But or boxes of shit.
Yeah, but we don't want to go that far because we don't want legal ramifications to come down on us. But giving way to those stores, just two notes that I wanted to pass along for release dates on the 26th of October, which is this Tuesday. Cannibal Girls from Shout Factory hits DVD. And then also the special edition two-disc DVD set of Maniac on Blue Underground. Now I'm going to throw my hat into the ring and almost guarantee that neither one of those titles will be in stores on Tuesday. But
I just got Maniac on Blu-ray at Best Buy.
Oh, really?
It's already out. Yeah.
No kidding.
It's out early. You better grab it because I only had like two copies. That'll be it. It'll never come back again.
Might have to hit that tomorrow morning.
We're going to take a short commercial break.
We'll be
right back.
Yeah, while Griff runs and clears out some more shit from stores. Right, Griff? Stealing Necromancia for $1.99, no less. You're a jerk.
Well, actually,
I'll give you $4 right now. I'll double your money.
The only
he already gave it to me. He said he doesn't want it.
He already gave it to you? You suck.
Well, the only reason why, actually, I got it for a dollar.
What?
Because I bought two.
I'll give you $4, Tim.
I bought two used movies. And
Why didn't you call and say, hey, Todd, you got this movie for a dollar?
I bought two used movies, and this one was the cheapest out of the three, so it was a dollar. But
you know that what's funny about that is
it was a slow day. I only walked out of there with four movies.
What's
it was
funny
a slow day.
Is Perry keeps posting that he still hasn't got a copy of it because he can't find it anywhere.
Well, he's not the Mighty Griff.
And you're buying the fuckers up for $1.99.
Not Netflix. Redbox had that movie. Yeah.
Yeah, he was saying that they censored out the cover. They took the bloody knives off. It was all right with the Necromancia movie, but God forbid we have bloody knives on the front.
You guys suck.
Oh, Redbox, what a future it's going
to
be.
Another list of movies that I wanted to mention that came out this past Tuesday. You know, they're just some typical lowbrow horror films, nothing really great or outstanding, but a couple of them that I wanted to mention was The Demon, Cameron Mitchell, Swamp of the Ravens with I Eat Your Skin, the 35th anniversary exhumed edition of Children Shouldn't Play with Dead Things, which I think is just actually a reissue because I think the 35th anniversary edition already came out like a year or 2 years ago. Herman Cohen Classic Horror Collection, which has The Horror of the Black Museum, The Headless Ghost, and then, of course, the two-disc version of Blood and Black Lace, which is a Mario Bava classic. And then also the 70s drive-in horror double feature with Ruby, starring Piper Laurie from Carrie fame, correct? Carrie's mother?
Yeah. Oh, Piper.
And Kiss of the Tarantula. These are all available through VCI Entertainment. Go to vcientertainment.com. You can pick them up there. And I think Amazon's got them pretty much anywhere online. Hastings usually does a pretty good job of carrying the VCI titles sometimes.
Yeah, and except then, for the last couple of months when they carried jack shit and Jack left town. I was up there kind of disappointed, man. It was new release night. Thank goodness right. I was there. They had one copy of The Redeemer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, one copy. So I got that.
I've already got it.
Well, here in a couple of weeks, there's going to be plenty of Jackass movies.
Yeah.
Jeez, don't get me going. Why do you do it? Why do you get me going?
50 million well, to watch be, people splatter shit on
there'll be 50 million copies
other.
Of Jackass new to buy, and then there'll also be 50,000 copies of it on the wall to rent.
And then, I gotta tell you something, right? Honestly, do you realize what's wrong? This is why I gripe so much about the film industry in our country. Okay, here, listen to this. Jackass had its world premiere at the Museum of Modern Art in New York City. Somebody tell me how the hell that's possible. Even Johnny Knoxville said, "What the hell are we doing there? This isn't art. This is a bunch of retards running around acting stupid." And I hate to use the term retards. That's what he said. He actually said that. So in my terminology, it's a bunch of morons going around just completely ridiculous, being followed by people with the most expensive equipment you could possibly buy.
I think he's taken over that whole Ringer crowd. He's got all those supporters are transitioning over to the Jackass phenomenon.
One thing,
and Hatchet 2 can't play, but Jackass 2 can, or Jackass 3D can play all over the country in every single theater.
If he would have thrown a little bit of Pooflong 3D in Hatchet, that son of a bitch would have been everywhere.
I know. Why don't they just follow some people around wearing diapers? It'll be great. Put a couple of gay people, some French people in there. That sucker will play all over Kansas City.
And something I kind of heard about it was they said like 3/4 of it had to do with like defecation, urination, male on male nudity.
Yeah,
and
I'm thinking,
exactly.
Horror films are offensive, saucy. But yet you can have pickle parties.
Look at Bruno, man. How many theaters did Bruno play?
It's a pickle party.
Bruno was another great piece of talent, wasn't it?
Bruno was funny.
I hated it.
I was laughing so hard.
The only thing I liked about Bruno was just the fact of how far he got people. I mean, that photo shoot when he had these people agreeing for their kids to damn near do anything just to be famous.
Liposuction for a 2-year-old baby. Yeah. I mean, just come and
dress your 2-year-old like Hitler and have a wheelbarrow full of. Of kids dragged around. Yeah, that'd be fine. Anything as long as my kid could be famous.
That's my problem was, I come from a background where I watch people with legitimate talent, and movies like Dead Snow, put out by IFC Films, no less, don't get even close to any distribution in the Midwest. We had to beg to get it even in a video store.
Yeah.
Right. And much less theaters. Now, it plays, West and East Coast, but we don't get Jack. But the middle, that's all we get is Jack ass. The middle is like,
we're taking it to the streets, Todd, all right? I'm doing the homework. I'm trying here.
We need to get AMC's phone numbers on the air, and we need to do it now.
I've got a week to work on that, and I'll have that next Friday.
He's got a week worth of
layoff. What is this baby step shit?
I have a lot of time to fill. I can't do it all in one night because then I'll have,
There'll be still something for me to do because we'll come in next week.
I only have so many layoff weeks.
I can fling Plu at the AMC, and they'll just think it's part of the Jackass show.
Shit, I'll put the webcam on. We'll fling Plu right now. Boy, we'll be a hit.
Jackass.
Anyway, I don't know if I should say this.
I'm never going to forgive you over the Necromancia deal. Tim over here is going to go home tonight and have a great time, and I'm left empty handed. I got the Redeemer. Woo!
Hell, you got Jackass just 2 minutes away.
Anyway, can I have a word in edgewise, please?
No.
I want to, anyway,
you act like it's your show or something.
Anyway, I'm going to say this prematurely just because I think it's some pretty big news, and I want to let the cat out of the bag a little bit. But I'm working. VCI has released, finally after a long hiatus, the movie that's way overdue on DVD, has released Dark Knight of the Scarecrow, finally. And from what I've said, in the past, I've seen pictures, comparison pictures of the old VHS and some of the DVD-R stuff. It's really faded, grainy, it's seen better days. VCI has taken this movie, actually, not VCI themselves, but J.D., I believe it's pronounced Fiegelson. If I'm pronouncing it wrong, I apologize. The writer, from what I understand from VCI, has actually gone through and painstakingly set and done the restoration of this movie. And it actually has come back out on DVD. It was released 2 or 3 weeks ago. But anyway, I highly recommend anybody that's a fan of made-for-TV horror films. If you want the Citizen Kane of made-for-TV horror films, Dark Knight of the Scarecrow is it. You will not be disappointed. And basically what you're seeing on this DVD is what was shown in 1980. So you can almost see where we, you know, time-wise, what was allowed then compared to what's allowed now. You know, you're actually going to watch this and go, wow, you know, I can't believe they went as far as to show that on network television back then, because there really, at that point, was no cable. I mean, you basically had the big three, NBC, CBS, and ABC, and that's, you know, predominantly where, you know, movies were shown, and a lot of them sometimes were made for TV movies like Don't Be Afraid of the Dark and Bad Ronald. A lot of these are now being re-released onto like DVDRs through MGM and other places like that. But go out, save up your pennies. I know money's tight right now, but go out and buy yourself a copy of Dark Knight of the Scarecrow. You won't be disappointed. Also, next week I'm going to have probably two or three copies of Dark Knight of the Scarecrow to actually give away to the listeners. And we'll have a couple of questions. Me, Todd, and Tim will get together and come up with some brain burners to see who we can give a couple of copies away to. So we'll have more information on that. And then also I'm in the talks of having JD on the show and talk to him about the process of being on the set while the movie was being made and then the restoration process to bring this movie back to life. So that's a couple of things we have coming up in the near future. Other than that, movies coming out this week, or have we seen, Tim? You see anything good? Anything decent?
No, not really. It's been pretty slow.
Anything get the dust wiped off of or rejaunt down memory lane?
We watched, what was the runs we watched? I think we watched A Little Trick or Treat. We got to watch that for Halloween.
Sammy Kerr version or the new?
Oh, yes. We watched both, and I'd forgotten how much fun I had with the Sammy Kerr one. Somebody needs
Ragman.
Mark Price, man. I'd forgotten. It'd been so long since that movie came out that I remembered how much we all hated him when they announced that he was going to be the metalhead in that movie.
I think the best part of that Trick or Treat movie was actually the cheesy T-shirts that he was wearing from time to time. It's like, how many bad heavy metal shirts could one kid possibly own?
I'd read a fact. I don't know. I was looking around trying to find it after hearing about old Sammy Kerr on it. But his best friend, I can't remember what the guy's name was, but he was Greg something or other. But I guess he went on to write a bunch of the X-Files episodes, and he did the Final Destination screenplays. I guess the guy kind of made a name for himself more than Mark Price did, who's down at Stanford and Sons this weekend. Talking about family ties and Michael J. Fox.
I was thinking, like, isn't he on his third foreclosure? But that's old. That's
Screech.
That's Screech from Saved by the Bell. my viewing, I did pick up one. Actually, I picked up a couple movies. One of the movies I did pick up was Fangor's Fright Fest, I guess, has released six or eight titles. Matter of fact, it's eight titles because I'm looking at the back of the cover of the first one I bought. It's called Dark House. It stars Jeffrey Combs. It was okay. Not bad. The premise was okay. Special effects. But it tired quick, and it's very forgettable. I mean, it's a thriller.
Did you give that one away too already? Is Tim on that
one
now?
No.
Yeah, no. He doesn't want that anymore. It's got Jeffrey
Combs.
You're going to get rid of that one. Toss it my way. I don't get to watch it yet.
You can borrow it. I'll let you borrow it. It's a real. It seems like a poor man's version of House on Haunted Hill, the remake version. Basically, what it is Jeffrey Combs plays a entrepreneur who is into the haunted house business. And at one time, he was known for more of the spectacular haunted houses in the United States. And it has since lost his luster. Well, anyway, he purchases a house who was once owned by a foster lady who had like 20-some foster children and had slaughtered them all, killed them all in this house. And so the house set vacant for some time. Well, Combs comes in, buys the house, and is pretty much putting state-of-the-art technology into this haunted house to redeem himself as the king of haunted houses. Well, in the process of setting up this elaborate holographic system that's supposed to mix frights with the holographic images, he goes to the local acting school and picks up, I don't know, a handful of 20-something.
What the hell is Carrot Top doing on this damn thing?
20-something. Carrot Top's not in the movie.
Look, there's Carrot Top right there.
That's a fucking Carrot Top. So, that's pre-steroided out.
So anyway, needless to say, the ghost of this demented foster mother comes back and possesses the computer system that is running the house, and the holographic images are killing the people. Well, there's a twist to the ending who is not what you think it is. You have to see the movie in order to understand it.
It's all Carrot Top.
It's decent for a rental. I wouldn't recommend the $16.99 sticker price that you're probably going to pay for it. I think you might be able to pick it up cheaper, maybe $10 at your local Walmart. Sometimes usually carries titles like this.
Well, actually, here's something that you need to know. Those titles were all Walmart exclusive. First, they were Blockbuster exclusives, right?
Right.
Then they became retail Walmart exclusives for 2 weeks. Kansas City Walmart's only got one.
Oh, really?
And it was that Hunger one. Okay. All the rest of the Walmarts, though, because I was in Florida, they all had them. They had all eight of them.
Well, I know the two that only actually looked interesting to me was The Dark House and then The Pig Hunt.
Fragile is awesome.
Is it?
And so is The Haunt. Even though I hated them using the title, The Haunting was pretty good, okay, too. Actually, those two are probably the best that I've seen. Now, again, Dark, I started to watch that sucker, and I just had to take it back. It's one of those things. So I didn't get through it. All I got through was like the first part where they're walking in the hallway and a bunch of supposed, I don't even know what they are, but they're supposed to be like holograms, but they're clearly just people walking down the hall with an axe or whatever.
Right, right.
And yeah, that's as far as I got.
And that's, you know, where this falls short. The premise of it is good, but I think they needed to elaborate on the actual holograms a little bit. I think they could have played with it, you know, a little bit more and gave it a little bit more depth. And it just seems like there's...
Did they give him special glasses to wear to see the holograms?
No, we're not talking 13 ghosts with Shaggy or whatever, Shaggy 2 Dope or whatever his name is from the Scream movies. But it's like I said, it's worth a rental. It might make a cheap thrill for a Halloween night or something. But like I said, if you can find it used, pick it up. If not, don't worry about it.
We'll just wait because in a couple of weeks you're going to find it for $1.99 at fucking Hastings.
Anyway, well, then I'll buy it again. Make somebody else mad.
You will, damn you. You probably have three of them sitting at home.
The second title is, actually the second disc that I picked up, is the Roger Corman's Cult Classics double feature that contains The Evil and Twice Dead. I actually tried to watch this three separate times, not because they're bad movies, it's just because I was so tired when I put it in that I ended up falling asleep periodically throughout different parts of the DVD. So I watched it three times and seen all of it, but three different times. The Evil was the one I remember the most. Basically, Richard Serena, which is plays the Colonel from the Rambo movies, is a psychologist, which basically is buying an old rundown state mansion and turning it into a drug rehabilitation clinic. Well, in the process of him getting together with some friends of his to help clean up the place, he's in the basement, finds a cross key or lock or whatever you want to call it, pulls it out, goes back upstairs. 15 minutes later, evil ensues because it's actually locking the gates to hell. It was entertaining, but it wasn't something that I was like falling over backwards with astonishment by. The kills, I mean, it seemed like their preferably way of knocking people out in this movie was by electrocution. The saw to the hand part was good, I have to admit that. But the funniest part of the movie is Victor Bruno's performance as the devil. And if anybody's ever seen The Mad Butcher, he's just kind of, I wouldn't say he's a fat guy. I say he's just kind of portly. But they've got him sitting.
How are you going to call Satan portly? Come on, man.
But anyway, they've got him decked out in a complete, he looks like Colonel Sanders. He's in a completely white suit, sitting in a white chair, surrounded by white fog.
To many a chicken, Colonel Sanders is the devil.
but you know what? It's kind of cool because it's King Tut, man. Come on.
So you're watching it, and you know throughout the whole movie, you're like, all right, there's some type of an evil force. So you get to see Victor Bruno as the devil. Now, he's not the most intimidating person when you see him sitting there, and the fact that he's making poo-poo faces like a fat baby wearing a diaper when he's trying to talk just makes it a little bit harder to take serious. And then, of course, you do have the quick cutaway transformation, you know, scene where he's wearing the makeup to make him look like Satan. But that is the high point of that movie. The Twice Dead thing was a mix between class of 1984 meets, I don't know. There's really no way of describing it. Basically, a family moves into a mansion that was once owned by, what would you say? You've seen it, Todd. An actor? Is any an actor? Basically, it starts out where a family, the uncle owns it. And uncle passes away and passes it on to the family. Well, the family moves in, and this mansion is like in a bad, seedy part of town. And basically, the kid who's hanging out at this house was his grandfather's house or something. But anyway, he didn't get it. He feels jaded, so he's hanging out. Well, he starts terrorizing the family that lives into the house. And it's basically just, you know, them tormenting the kids at school, tormenting the family in the house. And then, like, in the last 15 minutes, all the bully kids die, except for, like, one girl, and she comes back and explains to the family, you know, why everything happened the way he was. And it just seemed like it got lost within itself. It just seemed like they had a premise and then drug it out too far and realized they had 15 minutes of footage left and then killed everybody off fairly quick. Because it was like boom, 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 boom. It was like death, 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 death. There was no film in between. But the one thing I do have to say about this disc is they set it up like a drive-in theater. So when you play the Roger Corman Experience, you basically, it's going to start on with I call it the Grindhouse preview music, and then you're going to get a couple of the Roger Corman, you know, I think there's play two or three trailers. I think Death Race 2000. I think Star Crash is one of the trailers, and then it goes into the first movie, The Evil. Then you get the intermission reel, a couple more trailers, and then it goes into Twice Dead. And and I like that because I can put it in, turn out the lights, and it kind of brings back the old.
Is that how they're setting up a lot of the new Corman?
Actually, a lot of the double movies that come out are set up like that. Actually, I know that Madice, probably about five or six years ago, had a 10 DVD release. They had like Werewolf in the Girls Dormitory, Adam Age Vampires. They had Hatchet for a Honeymoon. They had a bunch of public domain movies, and they had actually set theirs up with the trailers of the movies that you're watching. And I think they kind of mixed matched, like you would have like Adam Age Vampire, but you would get the trailer for Werewolf in the Girls Dormitory, which would have been on the next disc. But in the middle of their movies, they actually had old Popeye cartoons. Now, a lot of the old Popeye cartoons were actually, I think some of those now are in public domain.
Yeah, I remember seeing a lot of that on the site.
Somebody that really did a good job, and this is the ones that I have, Elite Entertainment did some, I think they did three of them. Each one had a disc, but they did like the I Bury the Living and the Devil's Hand or something. But anyway, they did the Killer Shrews with something else. Excuse me, but they actually went through and had the sound in the background. And if you had the 5.1 surround sound, you could actually put it through the surround sound speakers, and you could actually hear cars driving into the drive-in, and you can actually hear the tires over the gravel. You'd be sitting there watching the movie if you had it on this drive-in setup, and you'd be watching the movie, and then out of your like right speaker, you would hear people talking, like people were walking past your car to go to the concession stand,
right?
And they would make little comments like, "Well, I can't believe popcorn was so expensive this time. You know, was it this much? You know?" And it was cool because you're sitting there and you're like, "Is there something wrong with my movie? What's going on here?" But they set it up with trailers too, you know, in between it, and a lot of it was, you know, trailers of the same, you know, like the movie that was on some other disc, you know. But like I said, I think they only did like three, and I think you can still pick them up. I think they actually released all six movies. There's two movies per DVD, and there's three DVDs, and I think you can buy them all in a box set. Now, I think you can still pick them up on Amazon for like 20 or 25 bucks. But, you know, if you're into stuff like that, which I am, I love trailer discs. If I can get a bunch of trailers, I can sit and watch trailer discs for hours. You know, just sit and watch a bunch of trailers and just laugh, you know. Because I've got a short attention span anyway. Necromentia is the last movie written by, the story is by Perry Teo, which did the Gene Generation. Visually, this movie is outstanding. I mean, beautifully done, well acted. I think it's probably one of the most beautiful films I've seen probably all year long. I mean, just the way it's graphically shot, the use of special, just your average, ordinary, everyday utensils, just the way everything's portrayed and set up and used, and just story-wise, I found it confusing. It intertwined on itself so much that I think it ended up as like one big knot. Now, maybe that's just because I watched it one time, and maybe I was just so enthralled with the visual effects, and you know, but the acting was solid. You know, I didn't have a problem with the acting. The film itself looked beautiful. Like I said, everything about it, the special effects looked real. You know, I'll probably later on give it a second viewing. Maybe I'll grasp more of the story, but definitely worth picking up. Like I said, if you like really dark, demented kind of alchemy type, you know, really twisted demons and just a lot of mechanical doodads, this movie delivers on all points. I mean, it's 10 out of 10 on the freakiness scale. And Tim's favorite part, Mr. Skinny, is just, it's, you know, for originality, is 10 out of 10 because it's hard to believe that something like this was created. So pick it up.
I am in the process of putting together my Mr. Skinny costume for Halloween.
But you can't go out in public, though. You have to stay at home.
I'm just going to scare the bejesus out of all the kids when they come up and give them rice patties. And
A couple of news updates. Me and Tim found this kind of interesting today. We was kind of texting each other back and forth. Supposedly news of a Crow remake has been announced, and the star of the picture is no longer no other than Tim. Would you like to announce the star, reported star of the new Crow remake movie?
It's going to be a sweet, sweet sensation when Marky Mark dons that special.
You've got to be friggin' kidding
Mark
me.
Mark Wahlberg is reported to
star. It's Marky fucking Mark.
It's underwear Mark ad. Wahlberg. That's what I call it. Underwear
is
boy.
Marky Mark.
And
Mark
they're going to let him wear it. He's going to have his Calvin Klein undies on when he wears his leather pants so we can see all the goodies.
And then supposedly, one that I found kind of hard to believe, that it's already slated to be.
I wonder
remade.
If they're going
to
let him wear his prosthetic wiener from Boogie Nights.
That's the Crow. You got to have something. You got to have something to perch on if you're the Crow. But another movie that's slated to be remade, Total Recall.
Yes.
Why do we need a Total Recall remake? You know, it hasn't been, 20 years since the first one came out.
Well, now you're telling me that Will Ferrell is supposed to be playing Arnold Schwarzenegger?
No.
Or he's just
in it? He's supposed to be in it, is from what I've
read. I wonder who he's playing.
But actually, I've heard that I don't know if it's the writer for the Total Recall has already backed out, or if it's the writer
for
the
Crow.
Well, of
course he had, because he got a fucking call from Arnold saying, don't you fucking remake my movies.
But supposedly the writer or somebody's already backed out of the movie, so who knows what's going to happen. But I found those two
entertaining. With all those little turd tidbits, the one that I do get kind of excited about, and I hope it happens, is the Day of the Triffids remake from Raimi.
Day of the Triffids is one of those overlooked sci-fi classics in my book.
Amazing.
And if you have the chance, the BBC did a version of Day of the Triffids, which I highly recommend people checking out. It's actually a little bit darker than the mess. I mean, I think it in the version that came before it. So I think the British version, or the BBC version, I think it came out into the mid to late 70s. But it came out, I think, they did a whole run of stuff. They did The Portrait of Dorian Gray, and they did another horror aspect movie like that. But, yeah, Day of the Triffids is definitely one to pick up.
I don't know how excited to get about it, because wasn't it not too long ago they had kind of thrown out that he was going to be remaking Wizard of Oz?
I have no idea.
That's a smart one. Yeah. Jeez. Hey, I got to tell you guys, speaking of weird stuff, Walmart over here, right next to that Lifeway Christian bookstore, found it odd the other day. They got in Psycho, speaking of classics that got remade and shouldn't. But that's the original, right, on Blu-ray finally, and Rocky Horror Picture Show. Both of those didn't make it to the shelf. I was there. I went to Hastings Monday night, went by Walmart. Right. I saw they had like 40 of these movies in a box, right? They never made it to the shelf, but every other new release did. So I had to raise hell to get them to go back and find them, and they were in the overstock area. Someone had hid them. So we're still dealing with Lifeway stupid bookstore.
What was the psycho?
What, are they going in raising hell or what?
Someone who's a member of the church, the Pleasant Valley Baptist Church, works at Walmart. We found one of them. That sucker's fired. So now I'm trying to find the other one. They infiltrate. They did the Best Buy had two of them right there.
Right. Now, what was the Psycho Legacy that was released this last Tuesday?
I don't. Maybe that's some kind of a.
Was that a documentary?
Maybe it is, but it's
because,
probably on
the
Blu-ray.
Because I know part two, three, and four
were on the
were released set. Right about this re-released about the same time that when Universal did their Wolfman, they went back and did like a
some kind of a set,
like a gold version of it. And I seen that the Psycho Legacy was out, and I didn't know. If it was a documentary. But another documentary that came out that I didn't even know about until I seen it at Hastings was the documentary revolving around the Nightmare on Elm Street series. You know, and it
that's is that not on the big box set?
To be honest with you, I don't know. It might be.
Because I know the TV episodes are on there.
Right, but I own the box set, but I've never watched it. To be honest with you, I haven't never watched it since I bought it. I think I just bought it for filler material because I think I picked it up used for like $20 for the whole set and threw it to the shelf.
Yeah, I got it for dirt cheap for what it all included. You
know, but I mean, and it was just one of those things where I really didn't care for anything past part two. You know, and everything once he started getting into the...
Yeah, I have to look and see on that. Cause
kid I'm, and the Dream... The Dream Warriors was all right. But after he started messing around with the kid and wanting the son and all that, I just kind of found the new Nightmare, Wes Craven's new Nightmare. The end one was good. I liked all of them.
I mean, even as cheesy as they got, they were still entertaining. I mean, they kept...
Yeah, but it was just a big group of one-liners. I mean, after a while, you can only do so many, you know, daddy's home, give me some sugar, you know, just all that, you know, type of... You know, one-liner fiasco stuff, but it'd be interesting to check out anyway. I know I find the Friday the 13th documentaries quite interesting because if you've seen some of the girls that you used to swoon after when you were a kid sitting in the Friday the 13th movie to see them 20 and 30 years later, you're like, woo, boy, has time not been gentle to her at all. But documentary-wise, I think there was a new one supposed to be coming out. I think there's a new William Castle documentary coming out, something I read about. I'm not for sure if that was something that I think they've taken. I think they've taken it out of the box set, the William Castle box set, and I think they're going to box it and sell it by itself.
Seemed like I seen that on AMC a couple years ago. They had a big special on William Castle. Right.
And I think there was actually, I'm not for sure, but I think at one time there was actually talk of one being made or in production of the Roger Corman retrospective going back and showing him from the first time. When he first got his start with American International Pictures doing the his first movie, actually American International Pictures' first movie, and Roger Corman's first directorial debut was The Fast and the Furious, and that's pretty much where Roger Corman started, you know, got hit, and I think they're going to go all the way back to his first directorial debut all the way up to his production company, which is New Concord, and then on up to, you know, the movies that he's doing now.
Right.
And then, like I said, last week, American International Pictures is back in business from what I understand. I guess somebody has bought the company. I guess they're actually looking for submissions for release and stuff like that. So that's good, you know, to hear because if the new International, American International, is anything like the old International, then, you know, you're going to have another 30 years of great films because I don't think there's a bad American International picture that's anything out there. I mean, of course, there's never going to be another Samuel Arkoff like there was, you know, before. But
and they're going to get theater release on them?
You know, I don't know. You know, I think if anything, I think if it takes off, you know, maybe one or two might, but I think you're probably going to see the day of just a direct-to-video type of thing. I don't think... The theaters now. I mean, I'm sure places like maybe the New Beverly and stuff, you know, maybe your smaller independent places that are actually pulling the crowd might do an American International picture here or there, but, you know, the big chains I don't think are going to touch them just because of, you know, content and stuff like that, stuff, you know, that you're dealing with now. But that's about, you know, newsworthy. I mean, just really nothing else coming down the pipe, just your typical bullshit. I mean, it's just... You know, I'm just so geeked up to finally have a good copy of Dark Knight of the Scarecrow. I mean, I'm totally ecstatic about that. And then my $1 copy of Necromancer that I found. So, but Todd, if I find another copy, I will
buy you a copy of Necromancer.
You're the devil, man. Hey, Tim, if you don't like it, man, I'll give you $4.
I just want to see my name in the special features, and I'll let you have it after that.
Okay, all cool. Good. All right.
But yeah, and it's well worth a dollar. Actually, it's worth the. I mean, whatever, you know, $14.99
or whatever. Mr. Skinny segment alone is worth $7.
Right.
I'd drop seven.
I think the sticker price on it was $14.99. And I mean,
it's worth that.
I've spent more on a lot less, you know. And like I said, visually, you're getting $14.99 worth of, you know, good visuals. You know, now maybe, you know, the store. Like I said, my it takes a little work for my minuscule mind to soak up, you know, a lot of things. If it's not, you know, tits or blood and gore and zombies and, you know.
Speaking of all that, did you get to Night of the Demons remake? You didn't mention that one.
Oh, I didn't even know it was out yet. I could never find a release date.
Is that any good?
They got it up at Hastings. They got like 12 copies, man.
$10. Those stills of Furlong were just scary.
You know, I really like Edward Furlong. I want to like Edward Furlong because I know he had a rough childhood. He had a rough time. I know that. I liked him as a kid, and I want to like him, but man, he really looks road hard and put away dead. I mean, it's just not even right.
But does anything?
I think he was the one that was in the shower scene in American History X. I think that.
But does anything? But does anything come close in the remake to Lene Quigley's bush shot in the original?
Well,
that was a work of beauty.
The original, I don't even remember the bush shot. I remember a boob thing with the lipstick, and I remember it bending over in a tutu. But she's in the movie, and she bends over in the tutu again.
Is there bush?
I don't remember Bush. Do you remember Bush?
Come on, dude. She ain't been in a movie in 20 years. She's going to show him whatever she wants for $10.
There was when she's in the room.
We've seen what she looked like down in Dallas.
Yeah, she looks pretty rough.
She's going to do what she's got to do.
But there was the scene Bruno where she happy. Was in the bedroom with the fat guy in the pig mask.
Right. I don't remember the Bush, I guess.
And she's all like sliding down in the corner. She's all got her skirt and she peels it up and she's her.
I guess you're right. Yeah, you know, I just don't remember. Yeah,
she's
so is the new one good?
I like the new one. Okay, I mean
the effects look cool. It's just that cast they put together. I'm like, how many? I kept expecting Screech
the cast.
To come
I wasn't impressed with
the
cast that they put together for a movie like House on Haunted Hill, but it worked. I mean, I liked
House on
Haunted
Hill. Yeah, I think Jeffrey Rush was great, man. Yeah.
And
channeling
and
Vincent Price,
right?
Man.
I mean, you know, in his last name when he announced himself as Mr. Price, I was like, whoa, that's cool. You know, I was like, well, that's, you know, they did it right. And just there was enough. You know, talking about movies that are visually stimulating, like the stuff like that, but just some of the old hospital stuff that they, you know, just the way they made it look just decrepit. I mean, you could just almost smell some of the rooms of just the rot.
Well, that's the only thing missing from Night of the Demons was the house looks great on the outside, but on the inside, it's not quite as cool as that original house. It's still cool, but not as cool.
And that's what I was getting at with Dark House. You know, the whole premise of it, them taking this house that supposedly sat vacant for all these years and turn it into a haunted house was great, but there's new paint on the outside of the house, which it looks basically like, you know, some yuppie couple basically went into an old part of town, bought a nice big house and painted it, you know, so the paint color schemes are real vibrant. And then the inside of the house is like totally new. It's like perfect carpet, all the doors. You know, if a house supposedly had such carnage that took place in it, you know, and it sat vacant for years and years and years, you'd have dust bunnies and cobwebs and 3 inches thick dust on everything. But, you know, all the wood's polished, you know, everything is just like this pristine house. And you're thinking, this is just, you're saying it's the movie's Dark House, but there's nothing dark about the house that you're
see,
in.
And that was our discussion we had where we were talking about the best sewer movies and subway movies. And I think that's why I love those movies so much, because you're never going to be able to spruce
up a sewer.
You can't fuck up a sewer. You're still going to have turds rolling around. There's still going to be rats crawling out of holes.
Wow, they got a HD version of Graduation Day here on Netflix to download.
Oh, well.
I love that movie.
Did you see Spiders 2 on there?
Huh.
Oh, have you seen the first Spiders movie?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's
a
second
good one.
There's actually a couple good Spiders movies. There's Arachnid's awesome.
Yeah.
The big crazy mutant spider.
The more rubber legs, the better, man. That Spiders 2, in the first 30 seconds, man, it had big giant rubber spider legs.
And what was the one that came out? It was in the Man-Eaters. You know how they have the the Maneater series
that came out. Right.
They're getting pretty hokey now. But they had one called In the Spider's Web that was really good, and they didn't even title it as a Maneater. It wasn't even part of the Maneater series. It just kind of came out under the radar. But some of those Maneater movies were good.
Some of them are okay, I guess.
Majority of them all, you know, sucked ass, but, you know, I mean, well, the earlier ones were good. You know,
you like got to try pretty hard to Blood fuck up Monkey? A movie with big giant spiders.
Let me ask
spiders.
You this. Talk about a cast that was like a stellar cast as far as popular people for teenagers. Why the hell isn't All the Boys Love Mandy Lane been released in America yet? Someone explain this to me now. Granted, it's not a great movie. Right. I've got it. But I had to get it from overseas. And then I got a bootleg because it was supposed to be uncut. It's the exact same one I got the first time.
Right.
Which pissed me off. But, yeah, the damn thing is released everywhere in the world. But this is, if there's any movie that screams American teenage slasher film, this is it.
Right.
Even though it's, I don't know. Have you guys seen it? Oh, it's been released by Paramount or somebody over there. But it's just sitting on a shelf here, and this is they're missing the boat because these people that are in it are not going to be stars anymore.
How long did Trick or Treat sit on the shelf?
Yeah, but the difference is that, I mean, that only had what Pac went in it, but this movie's got all these hot people from the WB who are not going to.
Did you see the documentary that's been released over there on the Video Nasties? It's like every movie that hit the Video Nasties list is in this like documentary, and it's supposed to be a stellar documentary. Amazon UK's got it on there all the time. There's always somebody posting it, talking about it. And I've actually thought about just throwing the money out and just getting it because I'm interested.
What are they wanting for the?
I think it's running like £14, which is what, like $2 to ours. So it's probably running about $30. I mean, it's, you know, for any good documentary, I mean, I'm assuming that's probably two discs and a crazy amount. But you're getting movies like Absurd, you know, Anthropogorgias or whatever,
the Grim Reaper. They're giving you that, the movies
no,
with them?
No, it's just but you're covering,
discussing them?
Yeah, see, there used to be a movie, or not a movie, there used to be a movie magazine that you could buy, like at Borders used to have it. It was called Dark Side. And basically it was
the British version.
The British version of Fangor or Horror Hound or, you know, like Canada's
It's Rue not War. Around anymore? I thought I'd seen it not too long ago.
I don't think
it's
you can gone. Pick it up
yeah.
anymore.
Yeah, out of business.
I've got a handful.
Did they try charging $19 an issue like Fangoria?
It was pretty pricey when it was out. I think it was right around $10 at the time. But, of course, all the domestic magazines weren't skyrocketed at the time. It was the big wig on the market.
Dang, Steven Seagal's got a new one. It's not even at the Walmart for $10. I'm mad.
It's called Porky Pig.
It's called Today You Die. Don't be mean to Steven, man.
He was killer in Machete.
Now, you have to. Now, you know, Steven, I got to work with Steven, and I think Tim knew about that. I think we were talking about it a little back then. I got to do some work for him, some editing and stuff, and I just really liked him because I worked for Warner Bros. At the time doing the liaison work, right. And I drove him and Kelly around in my Camaro. And he was the coolest guy in the world, man. He was just really cool.
That's a nice Camaro you got here, Todd.
He remembered me. That's the cool part. Years later. So, yeah, you got to give the guy credit. You know, he gets put through a lot of crap. You know,
want me to pick that one up to you and for you too at Hastings?
Yeah, if you see that one for $1,
I'll be up for Sunday. I'll get it for you
I'm
for
sure
$1.
You bastard!
I'll come back with 20 movies for you and only spend $2.
I can't ever get out of the house because I'm too sucked into his Deputy Seagal series. He's got.
I love that series, man. It's good.
What are you jaywalking for, punk?
I know. And you know what's really making me mad is I've missed the first what it's been on the new season's been three episodes.
Man, yeah.
I missed the first three episodes because I just saw a commercial at the theater last night.
And he doesn't play around, man. He's going down into the crazy hoods.
He does. And, you know, last night at the movie theater, they had a little preview of the season two, and I went, oh, it's back. And so,
they brought him back for a second. Huh?
Yeah,
nice.
So I've missed three episodes.
Everybody likes seconds. Even Steven, he likes seconds. You can tell.
What in the hell? Jeez, be nice to Mr. Seagal, man.
Anyway,
He looks good in a Komodo, buddy.
In the old issue of Dark Side, see, you got me off. In the old episodes issues of Dark Side, they had these books that they would go out and make, and they had one book on nothing but zombie films, and it was called Zombie. And then I think they did another book on Amicus. They went the theater that dripped blood, but they had a book that I got, and it was basically the DVD, the Video Nasty list. I think it was like the top 50 movies that were banned by, you know, the British government. They were put on the Video Nasty list. And then it had everything from, I think Cannibal Ferox was in there.
Didn't Horror Hound a year or two ago do a big write-up on that?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. But I've got
Dagmar's Hot Pants, man, 1971. I've got to watch this one. This one should be in the, at Hastings, so I can just bring it home, dude. This one's one of those owner. Just the cover.
I don't think I want to look in Dagmar's Hot Pants.
Sorry,
we might be getting back on the Bruno scale. If we get
starring there. Steven Seagal.
Hey, there's spiders too. I found it.
It's more like nice. Dagmar's Stretchy Pants, starring Steven Seagal.
Scary.
The second helping. With desserts.
That's awesome.
You're the devil.
He plays, yeah, but I'm no Victor Bruno, though.
He plays a mean blues guitar.
I don't know, man. We should dress him up for as Victor Bruno for Halloween. Make him King Tut. I'll wear the bat suit.
King Tut. I want to be Egghead. I want to be Vincent Price's
Egghead. I was telling Griff earlier, I was thinking about trying to rig up a little doohickey for my forehead and trying to be Jeffrey Combs from Beyond.
That's awesome.
Tula, oblong, glotta, flop.
Have a big old...
All you got to do is get a Michael Myers mask and cut it in half and just let your beard hang out and you'll be perfect. There you go. Tear it up, drag it along the street a little bit, cut it in half and let your beard hang out. You'll make millions. Lord. Everyone will love you.
Have a little recorder.
Have some stupid bitch walking around behind you with a white horse. Everyone will love it.
Should we announce that we're trying to work up an interview with Sherry Moon Zombie?
Yep, we shall.
I guess we're tentatively in the works of trying to get a quick candid exclusive interview with Sherry Moon Zombie. So. Well, we can't promise anything, but as soon as we find out, we'll pass it on.
She said if we bought $7 worth of her skull clothes,
seven hell, you can't even buy anything there for $7. You couldn't even buy a skull keychain for $7 from those people.
You can get address labels for $7.
Oh, okay, okay. Hey, they got Night of the Scarecrow, buddy. You'd be happy about that.
Is that Dark Night of the Scarecrow?
It just says Night of the Scarecrow. What's this?
That's the Walmart version.
Oh, man, Jeff Burr.
No, that if it's Night of the Scarecrow, that would be the...
yeah, Jeff Burr version, that 1995.
I was going to say, watch out for the Asylum, because they have a tendency to sneak out some stinkers on you when it comes to the...
Speaking of them, yeah, I have one at home. I just watched the Dahmer.
Gacy?
Is it the Gacy one?
It's Gacy House, okay. Like 636. Have
either one of you guys seen the Dahmer versus Gacy flick?
No, that's funny. But yeah, the one you're talking about, the ghost hunters go there and it's haunted by the spirit of Gacy or whatever. Yeah,
I actually got one in the mail the other day. Anchor Bay sent it to me, called The Rig, with William Forsythe's in it. Supposedly it's some kind of deep Star 6 or Deep 6 Star, I don't know, type of ripoff. It's supposed to be like on an oil platform out in the middle of the ocean, big sea creature running around killing people.
Right, it's supposed to be pretty okay.
Yeah.
What the hell happened to that movie Scar? Wasn't that the 3D film with the chick from Angela Bettis, right? She was in it?
Oh, she's got, yeah.
Whatever happened to that movie?
What happened to Angela Bettis after Sick Girl?
Man.
Oh, May was awesome.
I liked it, yeah.
She touched my beard.
She's
that was a beautiful time.
She was a great.
Giving you your warning.
My 3-minute warning?
Yeah. We get three. We get an extra minute.
Why do our hours go by so fast?
It's only because you're thinking of Angela Bettis at this point.
I think sometime in the future we need to schedule a live show with some call-ins.
I think we need a live show. Or maybe even an hour.
Maybe an hour live show. Or
hey, Monster Dog HD.
Oh,
because I've got a secret out of control.
What was the other
identity crisis?
What was the other bad movie? The Dracula's Dog or Dracula's Hound? Hound of Dracula? Wasn't that one? There was Monster Dog with Alice Cooper. Then there was something, the Hounds of Hell, that was like really bad. And then there was the
Cujo.
Wow. You know how you want to know how you sum up Cujo in 5 minutes? Throw the fucking kid to the dog and get the hell out of there. That whining son of a bitch would have been dead in the first 5 minutes if it had been anywhere.
Don't hold back. Tell us how you feel about that.
Mom, poof, right out the door. There you go. Eat lunch.
They both should have been eaten for driving that piece of shit Pinot around. Hey, get a fucking job and buy a real car, you dumb bitch.
Put some gas in that motherfucker.
Gee, or hey, if I see Night Train to Terror HD, that's the other great theme song. Everybody got something to do. Everybody but you. Remember those terrible? That guy looked like he got kicked out of Loverboy. That's the bad thing about that.
Yeah, I just watched Trick or Treat. I know all about bad music.
Oh, geez.
Fast Way.
But at least they were a real band. I mean, give them Mutant Hunt. Hold on. Mutant Hunt in HD. What? Unbelievable.
Todd's on eBay.
Ed French. No, it's here on Netflix.
Buy it now.
Abort.
Shit. Sorry, I'll quit talking.
But anyway, folks, I guess that's going to wrap it up for another fun-filled episode of More Horror Than Horror. I'd like to thank Todd and Tim for joining me in this romp through madness and insanity. But like I said, I promise next week I'll have a lot more movie information for you. I'm going to do my homework this week since I'm on layoff again. So
you're going to be up at Hastings every day.
Sunday.
Just Sunday.
Sunday's the best day to go up there because all the drunk idiots sell all their shit on Fridays and Saturdays for beer money. And by the time the slow people at the desk actually get around to marking it all, it usually don't hit the shelves until Sunday.
There you go. If you learn nothing else from this show, learn to go to Hastings on Sunday because the drunk people.
Yep. Good. Now more people will take my shit for a dollar. Everybody's got something to do. Everybody but you.
Hastings.
That song is so bad. What's bad is I remember it.
So until next time, I guess.
Dance with me, dance with me.